At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is part of one of my favorite readings in all the Gospel of Matthew. It's the first part of the first gospel that I proclaimed as a deacon when I was ordained in Rome, and on which I preached. It's a reading, the same reading that we use for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the same reading which we use for our own patron, St. Francis of Assisi. And this beginning part, which will come to its conclusion tomorrow, which has a really consoling part to it, Jesus just exclaims. Well, where does he come from this exclamation from? What is he doing just before? Do you remember yesterday, those of you who were able to go to Puerto de Luna, when you heard Deacon Marvin proclaiming this gospel, what is he saying? It's a lot of big words, a lot of serious names that are going on there. It says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida! Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, all you people who are doing everything wrong and not following God. If the works that were done in you were done in all sorts of these other places that are pagan, they would have turned their lives around, but you didn't. Woe to you, because it's going to really be bad for you after you've been given such grace." And so Jesus has just been berating somebody. It's just one of those moments where Jesus has just been laying into somebody. And then what is he doing in the next moment? It says, at that time, like in that instant, in that very next moment, Jesus exclaims. And does he exclaim, "God's going to strike you down even harder"? No. What's going on? He exclaims, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you revealed them to those who are childlike." He exclaims. Well, what does this say about Jesus? We talk about this all the time in our preachings because I want to emphasize so much our baptism. What's going on here is something that's central to our faith. What? First thing, God is Father. Second thing, Jesus Christ is Son. Third thing, what is it? Our identity, and what that means in relation to all of that. What's our identity? Our identity is son. Our identity is daughter. What do the great theologians say? The great masters of our faith from antiquity, from the very earliest days, they remind us of this great gift of filiation, which we share in, meaning sonship. He says that we are sons in the Son. Meaning that we are daughters in the Son, that our identity is Jesus Christ, and because our identity in baptism is Jesus Christ, what does that mean? That we are also sons in the same way, and that is something that needs to radically transform our work. We say sometimes, "Father, I don't really understand how to pray. I don't understand how to seek God. I don't even feel like He's around often." You know, I was just listening to a podcast yesterday, in fact. And yesterday I was listening to this podcast by somebody, I don't even know if he's a theologian or anything like that, but he talks a lot about God. Talks a lot about God, and I'm pretty sure he's Catholic. And what he says there, and what he was disputing, this issue of God as being not known by people because they're atheists, saying God isn't known by them because he doesn't reveal himself. Why is God hiding, in a sense? God does hide. Wouldn't it be nice if God would just appear right over Santa Rosa? Just appear, the clouds would open up, and he would appear in such a way that everybody could know that person right there is God, and he's saying, "I am He, Jesus Christ is my Son, now believe." Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be incredible? But even in that, you'd probably still find some people who would still disbelieve because they choose to. The reason being is because they disbelieve Him now. What did Jesus point out in another place, right? Jesus pointed out when he was talking to Demas, that rich man who had been sent to hell because he didn't believe, and Lazarus, who was the poor beggar, went to heaven. He said, "Well, Lord, just let me, Abraham, let me go back and tell my family, and then they will convert because they will believe a man who's come back from the dead." He said, "If they do not listen to Moses, they're not going to listen to you, even a man returned from the dead." That's our faith is based on that, right? A man returned from the dead is also God. Even they reject that. So what our Lord is really driving at here, and I think this is something that we need to take a look at, is the closeness that Jesus feels with his Father. That intimacy. Where in the same moment he's berating people, in the same moment he's telling them, yeah, your actions are going to lead you straight to hell. If you don't convert, you're not going to make it. At that same moment, just something exudes from the inside of him that he just can't keep down anymore, and he begins to exclaim the praises of God. And that's the close relationship that Jesus has with his Father. God isn't distant from us. Stella had us recite that beautiful psalm response, which basically says, God don't abandon us. God hasn't abandoned us. Even if it seems like it's hard to see him in difficult moments in our lives, it is hard. I struggle with that myself all the time. But at the same time, Jesus is our example of what our prayer is supposed to be. If we really are sons in the Son, if we really are daughters in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, that means his pattern of prayer is the same for us. Which means even as we're going about our everyday, even as we're passing through various moments, we can have that same sort of ecstatic union. It's not like we preached about this weekend. It's not just the gift of a privileged few to be able to have an awesome relationship with God and intimacy with him that's only meant for priests or for deacons or for religious sisters or for future seminarians or something like that. It's something that's meant for each of us. I'm no more a son in the Son than Mike is. I'm no more a son in the Son than Simon is. I'm no more a son in the Son than Angelica is. Each of us share that same equally. And so because that can reach that same intimacy which the Son has with the Father, it's just a matter of at every moment returning thanks to God. What do you thank God for? What do you praise him for? And I surprised my priest friend today when he asked me to lead an interesting prayer for our meal blessing instead of just the standard one. We have a joke that goes between us about that. And so we just prayed what was on my mind. God, thank you for being. Thank you for existing, God. Because your existence allows me to exist. Can you thank God for his existence? Yeah, we thank God for the birds. We thank God for the trees. We thank God for the moments when he allows us to have rain like I passed through on the way over here. We thank him for those things. But Jesus is constantly praising his Father in the midst of his everyday life. Praise you, Father. Wow, this is an amazing thing. You reveal these things and you're about to reveal something else through me here in just a moment. And I just can't keep this in myself. That's not just for Teresa of Avila. That's not just for Therese of Lisieux. That's not just for St. Rose of Lima, our patroness. That's something that each of us can have. Something that each of us ought to have. And so yes, brothers and sisters, each of us are sons in the sons and daughters in the daughter. But recognize this truth too. And that's what our Lord wants to reveal to us in Holy Mass today. He says, I want to be closer to you because I am. This is a true fact. I am closer to you than you are to your very self. And that's what he gives us in Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.